Time to glorify the Lord. Certainly God is to be glorified. Take the time to glorify the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For this preaching moment.
Lord,
as always, we ask for your presence to be manifest. Come into the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Make a connection, pew and pulpit. Lord, make us one that the message of your Son's coming will be received for salvation's sake. Pray that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Send it as you send rain and snow from heaven to water the earth, to give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall your word go forth and will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Have your way in us and through us. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor and glory, majesty and power. We thank you for what has already transpired, what has happened for in this place. Lord, all that has gone up before you, now, Lord, you stand before us and give unto us. We ask for forgiveness of sins and cleansing of our hearts, that our life and living be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord the praise you brought to give him. Amen. Come on, give God the praise you brought to this place to give him. You know he deserves it. God is God and he's God alone. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Come on, give our young people a hand as they have led us in worship, sign and puppet ministry. We thank God for them. Thank God for our young men who have led us in devotion. You ought to feel like you're at church now. Amen. You ought to feel good. I know that hour took something from us. Amen. But we're here now, and we might as well do it for the glory of God's sake. Amen. It's good to be alive. It's good to be active. It is good to be in this place one more time. One more time. One more time. He has allowed us to come together one more time. One more time, he has allowed us to pray and sing together one more time. And certainly we thank God for this, another day and another opportunity to worship and praise His name. I got 17 minutes. And I hear you. As pastor, you know you don't know how to preach a sermon in 17 minutes. 17 minutes. Stand with me quickly. We're on our way to Mississippi already. 17 minutes. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and it reads this way: For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge, in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Operating on the God's authority and power. You may be seated. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. Amen. Patience and all long suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Paul, with this particular church, had no personal contact. For he had word from Epaphras of their salvation, how God was using them for His glory, using them in the work of His kingdom. That Paul said that he ceased not to pray for them. And let me pause to say to us, you don't know, have to know people to pray for them. You don't have to have personal contact with people to pray for them. Matter of fact, God placed people on your heart that you don't know by name, and you are to pray for them. For Paul says, when I bow my knees in prayer, I cease not to pray. In other words, I'm constant in mentioning you unto God, because I thank God for what He has done for you and what God is doing through you. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to look around and see how God is using other people for His glory, for the extension, expansion, illustration of His kingdom. Paul prayed, and his prayer was for them to be filled with the knowledge of God, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, he wanted them to know God for themselves. It's one thing to hear of God. You know, you hear other people's testimony about what God has done in their lives. But it's another thing to have your own experience with God. You know, we hear a lot of people say he's a doctor in a sick room, but they've never been in a sick room. They say he's a way out of no way, but they have never been in a tight place. Come on, talk to me, somebody. We hear people say he's bred in a starving land and they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. But it means something, and it has the punch it needs when somebody stands up and says it that has an experience. Somebody he has brought from the sick bed of some hospital. Somebody he has brought through the court system. They have stood before a judge, didn't know if they were going to be sentenced to a long sentence or a short sentence. But when they stand up and say that God is a judge and Jesus is my lawyer, experience gives it the punch it needs. Do I have anybody here that have an experience with the Lord? You're not talking about what grandmama said. You're not talking about what mama said. You're not talking about what daddy said. You standing up today and you are praising and testifying by your own experiences that you have had with the Lord. I'm looking at somebody here that have had some tight spots, that knowing from experience, not just factual knowledge of God, but experiential knowledge, epinosis, knowledge that influences religious life. Knowledge that's clear and exact knowledge. He's praying that they be filled with all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It's a knowledge. Knowledge, experiential knowledge, is born out of having experiences with God. See, to say he walks with me and he talks with me is speaking of my experiences. That God is with me as I go about life. God is with me. I can sense his presence. I can sense the manifestation of his presence as I'm going about daily life. It's the Amplified Bible that explains experience is necessary to really come to know in a practical way God. The implication of that thought is that knowledge without experience is impractical. It is good, but not good enough. That Paul prayed for the believers of Colossae to have wisdom and spiritual insight so that they would know God's will. This is the first thing. God wants us to live to please him. That's what wisdom, knowledge, and understanding reveals to us when we sit over the word, when we stand over the word, when we read the word of God. What God does is he reveals his will to us. And listen, his will is not about all of our agendas. And we tend to think that God, he satisfies us. And in satisfying us, we are to satisfy him. No, that's not the way we should live. He wants to be satisfied. God wants to be satisfied if we are in a hard place or in a soft place. He wants to be satisfied if we are up or down. He wants to be satisfied. And we have to tap into the Word of God to understand what pleases God so that we can apply the Word to our lives in a practical way so that God be pleased with us. Spiritual knowledge enables the Christian to walk in a way worthy of the Lord. Walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. See, Paul is speaking of knowledge that causes conduct. So you read the Bible, but the Bible doesn't order you, doesn't direct you, doesn't influence you as it should, because you don't understand that when you read the Word, it's to lead you in your conduct. Boy, if I had time, I would tell you to stop wrestling with God. It's just stop wrestling with His Word, because the Bible says, he that knows to do that which is right and don't do that which is right is whipped with many stripes. And the reason some of you come in here with your clothes half tore off of you, because God got to spend a whole lot of time trying to whip you back in line, because you just won't surrender to the Word. He has to put some on you to make you do the Word. Conduct that this ought to show up in your day-to-day living. He's talking about living to please God. That is about God. Listen, when God is pleased, God will do a whole lot for your life. That's all you got to do, is get busy in pleasing God. When God is pleased, God will arrange your life. When God is pleased, you don't even have to worry about your enemies. He says He will make your enemies He'll make them your footstool. And you know what you do with a footstool? You get up on it to reach what you can't reach. See, when God is pleased with your life, He will bless your life. Listen, he's talking about pleasing God, which means he wants you to live a productive life. A productive life. Verse 10, in every good work, bearing fruit. So he wants you to bear the character of Christ so that your life be fruitful. Your life be fruitful. Bearing fruits. He wants you to live a productive life. But then he wants you to live a life of patience. The ability to endure some things. Listen, with God, you can't be so quick to quit. When things don't go your way, you check out. You do like a little boy. You take your ball and you go home. Nobody plays if you don't play. If you don't get a chance to shoot the ball, you go home. You can't be quick to quit. You got to have some endurance. People gonna talk about you. People gonna roll their eyes at you. People gonna mistreat you. People gonna abuse you. But you can't quit. You got to have patience. Hopeful endurance. Patience. Patient continuance. Patience. Steadfastness. Stout-heartedness. If you're going to do this thing, you need a strong heart. You need a strong heart. Y'all help me preach. Look at the neighbor and say, you need a strong heart. You need a stout heart. Everything can't get to you. You need a strong heart. Listen, when people give you that best shot, you know what a strong heart does? It smiles. You need a strong heart. Listen, a strong heart can laugh when things are not funny. You need a strong heart. A strong heart makes you look like, you know, like nothing is going on in your life. See, you don't have to look like everything you're going through. Some people, they show up and they want everybody to know that something is going on in their life. But when you got a strong heart, your heart that's on the inside will radiate the joy of the Lord on the outside, that it will be written all over your face. Look at somebody and say, I need to see it on your face. You need a shout. I got to quit. He tells us why we should live this life that's pleasing to him. And verses 12 through 14, or 13 and 14, he gives us the reasons why we should live our lives for him. Why we should be thankful. Because in verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And in verse 13, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, it took the power of God to take us, to snatch us out of the powers of darkness. It took the power of God to snatch us from the power of Satan. You didn't just walk out. You didn't just leave on your own. You know, it's like a habit. You know, many of us try to break habits. And matter of fact, you know, the new year came in. We made new year resolutions that we weren't going to do certain things anymore, and just to make a lie out of ourselves. Because it's not what we say that delivers us out of the strongholds, out from the power of Satan. No, it's the Lord snatching us out. Listen, if you want to get out of some of the things you're in, I tell you to fall down on your knees and throw your hands up to the Lord and say, Lord, if you don't help me, I ain't going to be able to stand the storm. Lord, if you don't come to my rescue, I'm going to perish in this thing. Somebody here can be a witness. Lord, if you don't come and get me out of this, this thing is going to take my life. He snatches us out of darkness. From the powers of darkness. And he positions us. He transports us into the kingdom of his dear son. In whom we have redemption. The price been paid. Hallelujah. I can go out right there. The price been paid. Hallelujah. Lord, we owe the debt that we couldn't pay. Lord, we owe the debt that we couldn't make good of. But we are redeemed. We have been paid, and the price has been paid in full, that we don't owe a dime of the debt. Because Jesus went to a hill called Calvary. Do I have any Sunday morning believers in this house? Before you get to Sunday morning, you got to celebrate Friday when he died on the cross of Calvary. He did die. But thanks be to God, he didn't stay dead early Sunday morning. He got up out of that grave with all power, heaven and earth, in his hand. I'm done. We're redeemed. We've been bought with a price. We redeemed. Paid in full. When you come to me and you ask, do you owe anything, Rogers? paid in full. When I go to Deacon Wells, Deacon Wells, do you own anything? Paid in full. Deacon Killings, do you own anything? Paid in full. Sister Dahl, do you owe anything? Paid in full. Do I have any other believers in this house that can give God praise that you don't owe Heaven's Bank anything? Because when Jesus died, he went into the bank of heaven and said, paid in full. Everyone to your feet, I'm done. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. While the blood is running warm in your veins, let him save your soul. Make you whole. Let him stamp you that you are paid in full. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart as a spiritual family, as a faith family, come. Come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the Lord will restore, revive. He will redirect, refocus, re-energize you for the work of his kingdom. Come today if you will. If you're not saved, come. If you need restoration, you need family, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, to him I owe. Say that with the choir. Sin a crimson stain. Snow. Come on, come on, the doors. Come on, the doors, the doors, the doors. Oh, come on, hallelujah. To him I owe the doors. The crimson stain. Come on, mother, mother with son that was baptized this morning. Let me charge you quickly. All right, then. This is the first day of the rest of your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a process, a learning process. You are not who you will be. That he's enrolled you in a process. He said to Peter when he first saw Peter, you are Simon, but you shall be Cephas. He's going to give you that rock-like personality you need to worship him, work for him, to help others come to know him. He has snatched you out of darkness. Therefore, don't live a dark life. Don't you let him live a dark life. We're here to love you and love him and to help you and to help him be all he can be in the Lord. Keep him in church. Keep him in Sunday school. Keep him in Bible study. Keep him with a daily diet of the Word of God. And watch God take him from one degree of grace to another. Father in heaven, we pray for this mother. Give us strength to raise this son. In Jesus' name, Lord, on the inside. Work on him on the inside. Transform and translate in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for his soul. Thank you for giving him to us. We love him. We love her. And we pray, Lord, that you use us to edify his life. Lord, to equip his life to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to his name. As you are standing, may the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, amen.